My dear friends in Christ, this Sunday we celebrate a feast in honor of the Most Holy Trinity. And it is interesting when we think about this beautiful mystery of our faith, how we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And to each of these three persons, we assign a particular role or a particular function. We see how during the time of Advent, we reflect upon creation. And this is the role that is given to God the Father. He is known as the Creator. To God the Son, we give the role of Redeemer. And during Christmas, during Lent, and during Easter, we reflected upon the great work of redemption that was wrought by our Lord Jesus Christ. So to Him we give the role of Redeemer. And to God the Holy Ghost, whose feast we celebrated last Sunday on the Feast of Pentecost, we give the role of Sanctifier. And it is to Him that is entrusted this work of helping to sanctify the souls of the faithful, of the souls that have been baptized. And so it is that today we can consider this feast as the crowning point or the crowning feast in the liturgical season, in the liturgical year, where we give honor to all three persons of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So today, officially, we have the end of the Paschal season. The Paschal season has concluded, and this time after Pentecost has begun. So, for example, in the liturgy, we will no longer pray or sing the Vidi Aquam before Sunday High Mass. We go back to the asparagus. The Alleluia verse is no longer said. We go back to the gradual. And we know that during this time, we also no longer pray the Regina Caeli. We go back to the Angelus. So this is because the Paschal season has concluded. And it's very beautiful how this season after Pentecost is a fairly long season in the liturgical calendar. But it represents the Church's long journey on earth before the return of Christ in the Last Judgment, which we reflect upon and we meditate upon during the season of Advent. So on this Feast of the Holy Trinity, we are reminded of this beautiful doctrine of our faith. And this is truly a mystery of our Catholic faith, a mystery, something that we cannot fully comprehend. We can comprehend it as best as we can, and we can meditate and reflect upon it, but we will never fully comprehend it upon this earth. And so it is that we see how very beautifully and very simply it has been explained by saints in the past. I think of St. Joseph Cupertino. If you've ever seen the movie The Reluctant Saint, you see how he explained that he got a blanket and he folded it into three and he said three folds in one blanket. And that was his simple way of explaining the Holy Trinity. We have St. Patrick, who, as we know, was well known for the three-leaved clover, because he used this to explain the mystery of the Holy Trinity. He said three leaves and one clover. And that was his explanation, very simple explanation of this beautiful mystery of our Catholic faith. Now the saints and the spiritual writers say that this doctrine, this dogma, this mystery of the Holy Trinity is the foundation of our faith. Now, as I mentioned, it truly is a mystery. And there was in the life of St. Augustine, the great doctor of the Church, where he was writing on the subject of the Blessed Trinity. And one day St. Augustine was walking by the seashore. While he was meditating, he was deep in thought, meditating upon this beautiful mystery of our faith. And while he was thus engaged, while reflecting upon the Blessed Trinity, he saw a little child off to the side who was bringing water back and forth from the sea. And so he went to the little boy and asked him, "What are you doing?" He saw that the little child had dug a hole in the sand. Like I said, he was bringing water and filling up the hole with that water. And the little boy said, "I am trying to empty the sea into this little hole." And St. Augustine said, "Well, what you're trying to do is simply impossible. You can't do that. That's an impossible thing." And the little boy replied, "It is no more impossible than for you to try to understand or explain the mystery of the Blessed Trinity." And with these words, the little boy disappeared. And it was God's way of showing St. Augustine that, yes, we can do our best to explain, to understand this mystery, but we're never going to fully be able to understand it. But we see in the lives of the saints how they all had a very wonderful love for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I think of St. Francis Xavier. Now, St. Francis Xavier was a missionary to India. And very often, he would exclaim, or he would, one of his favorite prayers was, O Santissima Trinitas, O Most Holy Trinity. That was one of his favorite prayers that he would pray. If you've ever seen the book Stories for Catechists, there's a wonderful story in there about St. Barbara. But in that book, they consider St. Barbara a martyr of the Trinity. So St. Barbara had a father who was a pagan, and St. Barbara was a Christian. And on account of her not giving up her faith, her father had her shut up in a high tower that was yet unfinished because she would not give up her faith. So her father went on a long journey one day, and during that time that he was gone, St. Barbara noticed that there were only two windows in her room. And she entreated the workmen there to add a third window into her room because she wanted to consecrate these three windows to the three divine persons. So the workmen listened to her request and they added a third window, and she, like I said, dedicated these to the three divine persons. Now her father returned from his long journey, and when he saw that there had been changes made that he had not approved of, he was filled with rage. And finding that St. Barbara was immovable in her faith, he had her killed. He killed her with his own hand. With a sword, he cut off her head. And so it is that St. Barbara can be considered a martyr of the Holy Trinity. We have St. Cecilia, an early Christian martyr. And we know that when she died professing her belief in her faith in the Holy Trinity. She had on her hands, on one hand she had three fingers extended, on the other hand she had one finger extended, three persons and one God. She was professing her belief in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. You have St. John of Matha, you have St. Felix of Valois. These two saints founded an order specifically in honor of the Holy Trinity, the order of the Trinity, the Trinitarians. And one of the things that they were known for was for the redemption of captives, redemption of Christians who had fallen into the hands of the Muslims. But they also were dedicated to fostering and promoting devotion to the Holy Trinity. And we know that it's through this order that we have the scapular of the Holy Trinity. It is a white scapular with a cross on the back that has a red beam and a blue beam. But this is, if you wear the five-way scapular, the red scapular with the five other scapulars, that is the last of those scapulars on the five-way scapular, the scapular of the Holy Trinity, the scapular of the order of the Holy Trinity. We also have St. John of the Cross. Now, St. John of the Cross had a particular love for the Holy Trinity and special devotion to the Holy Trinity, so whenever he had the opportunity, he would strive to offer a mass, a votive mass, in honor of the Holy Trinity. And it was one time that he was asked, well, why is it that you have such a special devotion to the Trinity? And he responded that it was the most holy thing in heaven. And it's also mentioned in his life that when he was speaking with St. Teresa of Avila about this mystery, that it is said that he levitated off the ground. But there's one particular instance in his life where there was an exorcism that had to be done. And as the exorcism was being done, they had to stop to go pray Vespers. It was being done in a convent. So they stopped the exorcism prayers, and they went into the chapel and began to pray the first Vespers for the Feast of the Holy Trinity. And it is said that as they were in the middle of the Gloria Patri, which is an invocation to the Holy Trinity, glory be to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that it was at this moment that the person who was possessed jumped up, gave out a shout, and leaped into the air, and it said that she was suspended in the air, and it caused everyone to stop praying, caused them to hesitate and think, they were thinking, obviously, this is pretty crazy, what's going on here? And St. John of the Cross went forth and commanded the devil, and commanded the person to go back to their spot until they had finished their prayers through the power of the Holy Trinity. And it is said that person went back to their spot, and then afterward the prayers, after the Vespers, that they finished praying the Divine Office, they went back and continued the exorcism prayers until the person was relieved from that possession. But as we think about these different saints and their devotion to the Holy Trinity, it is a reminder to us as Catholics to practice a devotion to the Holy Trinity as well. We know that every time we pray the glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, That is a special prayer specifically directed to the Holy Trinity. And in the rubrics of the Mass, or even in the Divine Office, the recitation of the Divine Office, we are to bow our heads slightly whenever we pray the Glory Be, out of reverence and love to the Holy Trinity. And we see how often the Holy Trinity is invoked in all the rites and liturgies of the Church. We know that very often, whenever we make the sign of the cross, we invoke the Holy Trinity. We say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And like I said, in the rites of the Church, whenever the priest gives us absolution, whenever he baptizes, etc., it is always in the name of the Holy Trinity. So this is a very wonderful thing, a very wonderful mystery, a very wonderful doctrine of our Catholic faith, in which, like I said, possess a strong devotion to the three persons in one God, the Holy Trinity. And to make sure that we profess our belief in this doctrine often, by making the sign of the cross reverently, by saying the Glory Be reverently, bowing our heads slightly out of reverence for the Most Holy Trinity. So on this Sunday, as we celebrate this beautiful feast in honor of the Most Holy Trinity, let us remind ourselves of how very important of a doctrine this is in our Catholic faith. And to, like I mentioned, and as I said, to make sure that we are striving to have a strong devotion to the Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.